This is the Microsoft Cloud Show, episode 113, where we're going to catch up on all the latest cloud news, recorded live January 27th, 2013. Whoops, 2016, right?
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Welcome to the future, AC.
Thought you were taking me back to the future. Nice intro, man.
I mean, I know I'm old, but dang, I'm forgetting which, not even last year, like 2 or 3 years ago. Yeah, wow, that's bad.
I haven't messed up the year thing yet because I guess it's nice now that you don't have to write checks anymore. I don't tend to run into that problem anymore, so.
Yeah, gosh. Oh, man. Never mind. Anyway, so I'm one coffee in. How about you?
I'm four in, so I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent. What's up in your world?
Not a whole lot. Just same old, working through just various things. I've been splitting up my days nicely to where, like, I usually get up for a couple hours early, about 5 o'clock, have about an hour or two, about 2 hours before the rest of the family gets up. And then I take 2 hours off, the kids get up and stuff. And in that 2 hours in the morning, I've been spending that time working on that open source project, the NG Office UI Fabric. And, you know, it's cool because we've actually uncovered a handful of bugs in other libraries that we're taking dependency that we're using. So, like, for Office UI Fabric, we've actually found, I think, 5 different issues. And one thing that one of our guys even brought up is causing a complete rewrite of one of the components.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Using it in real scenarios makes you find all sorts of edge cases and bugs and things like that, right?
So it's kind of cool because they keep running up the same. Yeah, we're trying to figure out how to do this and how to do this. And we're like, we've already done it. You want to come look at our stuff? We've got it. And you know, how are we going to go through and get a better like deployment process and getting it over to NPM? I'm like, we got that. We actually have scripts that are working locally. They're not hosted yet, but we have scripts that are working locally. So I can run a script and it cuts in a new version, ships it to Bower, NPM, NuGet, CDN, blah, 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 blah. So it's pretty slick. So,
blah, 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 blah. Nice.
I want to spend a lot more time on it, but I've got a project going on right now that I've got to get hunker down on. I got to finish really by the end of the month. So
gotcha.
Yeah. So how about you?
Well, working away on our products. We're cranking some code and getting some stuff done. And we had a cool moment last week where at the end of the week, we got a sort of a key sort of flow going. And we were, I guess the way I'd illustrate it was you fill out a form in a web page. And then this is all running up in, it's a Node app running on Docker on Azure.
Mm-hmm.
And then whatever you fill out in that form goes obviously through that system, goes on a RabbitMQ message queue, obviously. A on-prem Windows service picks up the message. And then I won't get into the details of what it does, but and then it processes that message, which then sends the results of which get sent back up through RabbitMQ and back into the cloud service where you can then do reporting on that data. It was kind of interesting.
Very cool.
It was an interesting flow to see work sort of a big sort of circle end to end.
Yeah.
You put some data in, it goes back to on-prem, it does some stuff, it comes back, it does some other stuff and puts it in the cloud again for you. It was nice to see it sort of all came together right at the end of the week. And it was a good feeling seeing it work end to end.
Yeah. So you mentioned Docker. I know we were talking in our pre-show about some future episodes that we're thinking about. Got a couple ideas of a couple different shows that are coming, I guess, in the next few weeks. I've been listening to another podcast recently called The New Stack Makers. Have you seen this?
No.
It's really cool. So there's a site called The New Stack, and it's kind of backed by Docker itself, but there's some really good interviews by a lot of different people that are really instrumental in this space, and they do a really good job of explaining kind of what's going on. So I'm in a binge listening mode on it. Just listened to one of the main guys from Docker. Another guy is one of the main guys actually from Joynet, who was a former Sun guy, and talking about like just the evolution of containers and Docker and all that stuff. So it's been it's been really interesting. I thought that, you know, we got a couple shows that we could do, and I want to see if we can get this. There's one individual who is kind of like the guy behind the Azure Container Service that I'd like to grab and see if we can somehow get him on the show and have him talk a little bit about where they are today, what it is, what problem it solves, and stuff like that. There's too much. My frustrating bit is there's too much stuff that I find when you look for the Azure Container Service. There's too much stuff that is. It spends too much time talking about what containers and Docker is.
Yeah.
And it doesn't spend enough time talking about the Azure Container Service. So it's almost like.
Correct.
Yeah. It'd be nice if it was just an article that says, we assume, or a webcast that says, we assume you know containers and you understand what Docker is. Now, let's go from there and let's explain what the challenges are and what we're going to, and how we're going to address it. I sat through a private webcast the other day that was supposed to be in the Azure Container Service. And it was a 1-hour webcast, and literally 53 minutes into it, the guy introduces Azure Container Service. I'm like, I understood all that stuff. I spent the entire time explaining questions during the webcast for people who don't know what containers are and what their use cases. Like,
yeah. Yep. I was, I think I watched the exact same webcast as you and felt the exact same way.
Did you see me chatting in it?
Oh, no.
Oh,
no.
Okay. It was a Skype one. It was a Skype for Business broadcast.
Oh, gotcha. Oh, no, this was a recording. So maybe it was a different one. Yeah. Oh. Anyway, cool. Well, we've got some news to get through today.
We do.
There's been some interesting things happening in the Microsoft cloud world. So why don't you kick us off with the first bit of news?
How about I switch on the cloud and how I start with Amazon?
Oh, yeah. Good call.
I've got two things here with that are around the Amazon cloud that are fairly interesting. Or maybe just one, actually, now that I think about it. So first one is that about a week ago, Amazon or Amazon Web Services announced a new service called the AWS Certificate Manager. This is pretty straightforward, pretty simple. It basically is a way for you to create SSL certificates in Amazon and have your Amazon-based applications use those certificates. So you're wondering, well, you know, what does that really do for me? Effectively, what it looks like what happened is that Amazon is becoming a certificate authority, or they've done it somewhat on the side, so that these SSL certs could be used by any applications that need SSL certs. To give a lot of validity into what they did, within a day, I think, or so of this announcement, someone picked up that Microsoft actually went in and silently added the Amazon root certificates to its certificate trust list. So now, if you go into on a Microsoft-based OS and you suck that in, you can have, or you go through into a list of all the different certs that are there and all the different new certificates that are out there. And this blog post shows you how to do it. You are seeing one called Amazon Root CA1, Amazon Root CA2, Amazon Root CA3. So now, even if you don't do anything, your Windows machines, by virtue of a Windows update, will now trust these certificates. So now, Amazon is now a trusted root authority as well.
RCA.
Yeah, which is pretty
interesting.
Cool.
Interesting. That's, yeah, hopefully they'll, you know, I don't know. I've gone and got certificates before for a bunch of different things, and it's always the most painful and, like, teeth-pulling experience. Mm-hmm. And I hope Amazon do a good job of making it really easy.
Yeah.
You know, like having to go into IIS and generating your request, and it's just like, oh my God, surely there's a better way.
Have you gone through one of the ones that, there's like three levels of certs, and the top level one is the one that gives you the green badge in the top left of your browser. Have you gone through one of those?
No, not before, no.
So that takes a couple months because you've got to go through submitting some paperwork, proof of who your identity is and all that stuff. We did that with when I ran Critical Path Training, we did that. And I think it took about 4 or 5 months and costs a lot more because you got to get extra validation. It just gives you that extra little bit in the top in the browser to give your company name up there to get to show up. So
yeah, they do like company checks and all that sort of stuff, right?
Company checks, physical addresses, IRS information, just a bunch of stuff. So it's good that they do that because if you're paying for that extra certificate for that extra trust, so when people go to your site, they see that extra trust level, but it's a pain in the ass to kind of get through.
Yeah, I bet.
So
hopefully they'll do a nice job with that.
Yeah. What do you got for us?
So the big one that dropped this week was coming up soon is the Microsoft Azure Stack is finally coming to fruition, or is going into preview, I should say. So they're announcing the technical preview of the Azure Stack, and there's going to be a webcast. Let me get this right. I think it's February the 2nd. No, February the 3rd at 9 a.m. Pacific time. There is a Azure Stack webcast where CTO Mark Rusinovich and Enterprise Cloud Technical Fellow Jeffrey Snover will talk about Azure Stack and how it will impact you on-prem. So in a nutshell, many, many years ago, we were promised this concept of the cloud in a box. For those Luddites, I'm just kidding. Microsoft talked about cloud in a box for your on-prem data centers. If you didn't want to move to Microsoft Cloud Services that were managed by Microsoft, then you could run part of them on-premises. And the Azure team started talking about Azure in a box, basically, internally at Microsoft and externally a little bit as well. And this was probably like 5 or 6 years ago, I would say. It was quite a long time ago now. And it didn't come to fruition. And they tried to do some stuff with System Center and make it easier to provision stuff on-prem and do all that sort of stuff. But this seems to me, the Azure Stack seems to be the first real attempt at bringing some of the ease and, I guess, synergy between the cloud offerings that Microsoft offer with Azure and on-premises offerings that they offer. So in a nutshell, you should be able to build an app and run it either in your own data center on the Azure Stack or in Azure in Microsoft Cloud. And, you know, at its very highest and naive level, right, that's theoretically what should be possible. And I guess we will see how much truth there is to that story. But this is a huge move for Microsoft. And the reason I say that is, like, there are lots of companies that are moving to the cloud, for sure. There are lots of companies that aren't moving to the cloud, for sure. And there are tons of companies that are going to be in the middle ground, right, where they're going to have lots of on-prem stuff for whatever reason, for very good reasons, and lots of cloud stuff. And I think the Azure Stack gives developers especially and IT folks a way to bridge those two worlds where you can build things and run stuff with some of the benefits of cloud computing but on-premises, or move them and run them in the cloud as well. And in the past, that's been really hard to do. So it's a huge move.
It's going to be for those companies who are not in the cloud or are not going to the cloud. I think you fall into a bunch of different categories. You can fall into a category of they don't want to go to the cloud for whatever reason, or they can't go to the cloud because of some regulatory thing. But there's a subset of those people who say there's an appeal to going to the cloud. There's an appeal that what the cloud offers, but we simply can't do it. So this is nice because it's not that the Azure Stack is not going to be a full copy of Azure running on-prem. It's going to be a subset of the features like websites. I think websites and virtual machines are two of the popular ones.
Yep.
But there are some pieces there that will allow you to have the same kind of, like you said, flexibility and simplicity of deployment on-prem.
And some of the scale benefits too, right? Like being able to crank up instances for VMs and do all that sort of stuff and manage things in a similar way.
Yeah. There's a good article I saw that you posted in our Flipboard about Microsoft's secret weapon with the cloud wars and how Amazon will work. And this is really it. This is the Azure Stack is an offering to say for companies who are saying, we want to go to the cloud, but we need to be able to do some of the same cloudy stuff, but we need to do it in our own data center or on-prem. We can't go to the cloud to do those things. There's only one option that can actually do that between Amazon, between Microsoft's Azure, and between Google. Right now, or when Azure Stack pops out, I mean, that's Microsoft is going to be the only one that has an option there. So that's a really cool, compelling, competitive story that Microsoft has now.
Yeah. I mean, I tweeted yesterday, I said, Microsoft has a huge advantage in the cloud wars on-prem legacy.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, this is the crack ramp to the cloud.
Right? Crack ramp.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be at least folks on-prem, all running Microsoft stuff, and it's an enormous, gargantuan base of customers and systems, right? And would you either A, rewrite your stuff and run it in AWS, or B, take the crack ramp to the Microsoft cloud and have Microsoft make it easier for you to move that stuff up, long-term move that stuff up to Azure. And this provides that stepping stone approach for you over time. And I think it's an extremely smart move on Microsoft's part. It might make them look like, in the short term, it might make them look like they're focusing too much on premises to be sort of innovative and leading and all that sort of stuff. But it's a very strategic move, I think, for long-term, you know, winning in the cloud.
I agree. I fully agree. I think it's a great move.
We'll see. So the webcast is coming up 3rd of February. I think you can go find that in the press release that we've got in the Flipboard. There's a link to the webcast at the bottom of it by Mark Rusinovich and Jeffrey Snover, where we'll learn a whole bunch more about it. But the technical preview is coming out live, like I guess the download's going live on Friday the 29th. So by the time this show comes out, the download will be up, and we can wait for our IT pro friends to do all the hard work and install it.
We'll have to get somebody on the show who's familiar with this to come talk to us a little bit about it and give us their take on the stack.
That would be great, because I've got no idea.
Yeah.
How to get the stuff running on-prem, I'm not sure. So we'll need some of our smarter friends to help us out with that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, nice.
Cool. So I'm going to switch from Microsoft, and I'm going to go a little bit down the coast and talk about Google's cloud for just a second. Ooh. So Google announced something for their cloud platform, and it's called Cloud Identity and Access Management. So it's shortened to Cloud IAM or Cloud IAM. And let me just read what the quick little description is, and then I'll give you my 2 cents. So the Cloud IAM enables you to create and manage permissions for Google Cloud Platform resources. It unifies access control for cloud platform services into a single system and presents a consistent set of operations. The supported services that it's going to cover, it's going to support the compute engine, app engine, cloud storage, cloud logging is also available. Just a bunch of different options here. So essentially what this is going to do is it's going to give you a couple different capabilities. First, you're going to have resource level access control. You'll have single access control interface that you can go through. Also support the Google accounts or Google account support. So that way you can create policies to grant permission to a Google group or host a domain or a service account or even to a specific account holders. And you can centrally manage all those users and groups through an admin console. There's also a UI and a REST API to manage this. So my 2 cents and what I've seen from this is that this is essentially a compete to Google already today has an identity store, a single identity store for your, you know, Google account. But we refer to it as your Gmail account or just sign up with a Google account. We have that over on Microsoft side. Microsoft's got the MSA, the Microsoft account. Microsoft also has the org IDs, or otherwise known as the work and school. Effectively, that's the Azure AD tenant accounts. To me, what this inside of Azure AD, we have a thing where we can also create and manage applications. What I'm seeing from the Cloud IAM is that this sounds is something akin to taking what we can do in Azure AD as far as managing applications and giving them permission in a single place, giving them and managing all that stuff from a single place and having other applications take dependencies on that. Like with Azure AD, we do that with Office 365. We do that with other applications. Like we can sign into Wunderlist or Smartsheets or those other ones with our org ID accounts, and we can create custom applications. With Google, it looks like what they've done is they've said, we're creating this thing that's going to give you the same kind of capabilities of things that you can do with Azure AD over in the Google Cloud platform. So giving us the application stuff. Today, it's not fully supported across their entire platform. It's in the GA state today for the for console projects, for something called Google Genomics.
Genomics, is that? Yeah, I think that's how you say it.
They also have it in a beta stage for the Cloud Pub Sub model, so their version of Service Bus. And it's an alpha stage for the compute engine, app engine, cloud storage, and cloud logging. So it's kind of, it's GA for some stuff, alpha for the entire platform, and coming soon. So a little bit more of a competitive meetup that we see with that we have over in Azure. They see Google's kind of stepping up there.
Yeah, that's a nice more services and better maturity in their cloud offering and things. They're doing a pretty decent job at it, I think.
They've got some interesting stuff. Remember, we talked to a couple episodes ago about the performance of their storage in that one paper that guy did. And this is definitely going to be one to watch.
Hey, I've got another really interesting one. There was a Gartner report came out about how popular Microsoft software is with big businesses. And there's a Business Insider article that sort of summarizes a bunch of the things out of the Gartner report. And admittedly, this is from Gartner. So, you know, take it with whatever you, how you feel about them. But they did a study where they looked at 5,000 companies in total across large down to sort of sub 50 companies. And they did a bunch of analysis on what services they use. And they stack up Google Apps for Work and versus Microsoft Office 365 across those different customer segments. So like above 100,000 seats, between 5,000 and 100,000, 250 to 5,000, 50 to 250, and under 50 seats, and some unknowns as well. And hey, I don't know if it's any surprise to you, but surprise, surprise, Microsoft 365 or Office 365 sort of wipes the board clean in terms of popularity across the board. So there isn't one category of company that they measured where Google come out on top of having a majority share.
No, the closest one they have is, well, I guess there's the unknown category, which you don't really know.
It's sort of unknown category, which could be, I guess, like probably in the sub 20 space, I'm imagining, sub 20.
It's just got to be a mix, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
It could be a mix of anything. So if you have, to me, let's, if you take that one away, that chart shows that the closest they have is under 50 seats is Office 365 beats Google Apps for Work 2-1.
Under 50.
Under 50 seats, yeah. That's the closest. Or I guess, no, not, that's not the closest.
Yeah, and then above 100,000 is no competition at all, right? Like that's 32-6.
Yeah, 6-1.
But yeah, I mean, it definitely in the above 5,000 category, it's almost a complete clean sweep, right? The percentage of Google Apps is pretty small. Hmm. But then when you get from below 5,000, that's where the competition really sort of starts warming up. So in the 250 to 5,000 category, it's about 2/3 to Office 365 to 1/3 Google Apps. Mm-hmm. And then the percentages get more, you know, not 50-50, but sort of 60-40 up to about the 250 stage. And then in the unknown category, it's not quite 50-50 in Microsoft's favor, but close.
Yeah.
So that was kind of interesting. And but that I thought that was fascinating because the vast sort of or rash generalization of what companies use that I also had was like if you're a 20-seat customer, you're probably using Google Apps. Or if you're a 50-seat customer, you're probably using Google Apps. Mm-hmm. But, you know, from the study of 5,000 companies, which admittedly is a pretty tiny subset of the world, that doesn't seem to be the case.
That's interesting.
Interesting article. Then they also break it down by revenue as well. So it's linked off in the Flipboard, and definitely go take a look at that. It's an interesting study. I haven't read the entire thing from Gartner, so this may be just a subset of what they're choosing to show. Mm. But I thought it was interesting nonetheless.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got one other feature here that I wanted to throw in that I saw that Microsoft released with on the Azure Stack. Sorry, not the Azure Stack. That's actually a Azure, whatever. So an Azure is with Application Insights. It's called Proactive Detection. I don't know if you've received one of these alerts. It's not really ideal to receive one of these alerts, but it was nice to actually get it. I got it before the announcement. It's kind of surprising. There's a few other people on Twitter and Facebook started mentioning it. But essentially what this does is that this is proactive detection for your application. Specifically, like then the screenshot they show, it shows about slow page load performance for specific clients. Well, the one that I got hit with was it was showing me, here's your average response time for your website that we're monitoring. So my site, andrewcollin.com, I have App Insights on it. And admittedly, it's not very fast. We've talked a little bit about my Orchard deployment. I've got to, you know, take some time to get in there and go clean it up and speed things up and everything, host the podcast and some other stuff. But I get this nice little notification that said, hey, we noticed that your average time is, you know, for a page load is about 3 or 4 seconds, which that's too slow for me. But these poor souls over in India are waiting 14 seconds for page load. So everybody's in India that's listening to the podcast, I'm sorry.
Wow, 14 seconds.
Yeah, but I didn't do any testing or anything. It just kind of said, hey, here's this little alert that you got. These things show up in the new portal on portal.azure.com. Without really even doing anything, I got an email alert and it sent to me. So of course, you know, you look at it, it's just like, hey, we just noticed this. We can take a look at it. It's pretty slick. So if you go check out the link that I've popped up in Flipboard, it's just something that came from the azure.microsoft.com site where they listed things. And it's a free service that's available to you. So pretty cool.
Hey, speaking of which, in terms of our numbers, I tweeted out a little graph the other day. Oh, sorry, our top countries. But for the podcast, I've been doing some analysis of our logs finally, and by far and away the most popular country is the United States. Second place, United Kingdom. Then Australia, United Arab Emirates. Then Canada, Sweden, Germany, Netherlands, New Zealand. Ta-da! And then India. So even with that 14-second page load, India are in like 8th place, I think. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th. 9th place in terms of listeners, which is pretty sweet.
I'm doubting they're going straight to the site then to grab it because we're so slow. I'm sure they're grabbing it straight from iTunes or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So then in terms of how people listen to us, iPhone is by far and away twice as popular as as second place. And so people listen to us on their iPhones. Is the short answer to that. Things like Mozilla, that's hard to know exactly where that's coming from. iTunes, PHP, goodness knows what that is. iPad, Chrome, Android, Windows Mobile is in there in like 7th place. That's all the Microsoft employees doing it. Then iOS, NS Player, and Pocket Casts. So there's a bunch of different hosts. I think we'll do a blog post up on the up on our website with some of these stats and show people, you know, where people are listening from and how they're listening to us.
Cool.
Groovy. So we covered some news, got some interesting things going on in the cloud world. As always, we're really stoked and glad that everybody listens to this. We get some good feedback. We should get some more questions in from listeners, though. So if you have a good question for us or even a bad question, feel free to email us or get in touch through the contact form on the Microsoft Cloud Show website. And we'd love to hear from you. We may even get you on the show if you're interested. So definitely let us know, and we'll do our best to accommodate you. But thanks again, AC, for a great show. Hope everybody got something out of this, and we'll see you all again next week.
Yeah, man. Good talking to you again.
Cheers.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS at microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find a full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or on Twitter at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.